As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
An article in the Wall Street Journal asks this question: why work out when you can just buy the clothes and look like you did? And what that article is exploring is a growing trend in this particular market, the athletic apparel market. People are buying sports clothing without actually practicing the sport. The article notes that the U.S. athletic apparel market will increase by nearly 50% to more than $100 billion in retail dollars by the end of 2020, driven in large part by consumers who are snapping up all these stretchy tees and leggings that will never see the fluorescent lights of a gym. For instance, the sale of yoga apparel increased by 45%, but yoga participation grew by less than 5%. This trend isn't just limited to yoga. Outdoor and camping retailers have debuted new lines of hiking boots and flannel shirts for people who probably have no intention at all of actually hiking and camping. And retailers are rolling out jogging pants, $90 running shorts for men who will likely never run. Now, there are many areas of life where we say we're going to do something, but our actions do not live up to our words and feelings. It was Rick Warren who once wrote, "When the Bible speaks of God's love for us, and the kind of love we are to have for him and for other people, the word is always agape, signifying a commitment to act." So as you dig into John chapter 15, what you see are a series of verses where Jesus Christ is talking about action, and that action has to do with love. So in verse 9, we read these words: "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." The Greek word for remain, mainate, is sometimes translated to stay or to abide. And so we're thinking about where we're living. I remember living in a dormitory for 4 years when I was in college. And I was recently, just a few days ago, having a Facebook conversation with one of my friends from those days. We never actually roomed together in the dorm, but Mike reminded me that after graduation, in the months prior to his marriage to his wife Cindy, we shared an apartment. And Mike and I were always saying to each other, "I'm going to work, I'll be back in a while, someone's coming over tonight, I'm going to the store, do you want to go with me?" We were in constant communication with each other. And this is a theme in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. In verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so this idea of remaining and abiding is very big in John chapter 15. So what is Jesus saying? We're to be roommates with Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying right now. We're to be talking to Jesus constantly about everything that's going on in his life and our life and about his love for us. It means that we have to be in the Word. That's how we communicate best with Jesus, is when we're reading the Bible and listening to what he's saying to us. Amen. And so here in this 10th verse of John chapter 15, Jesus says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." I don't get much response from commands that I give. Perhaps you don't either. But the commands of Jesus are very important for us to take into consideration right now. And there were two commands that Jesus said were greater than any others. The first of those is from Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now that is a very challenging command, isn't it? He's saying to bring everything to the table in your love for God, to bring it all. Jesus told an amazing parable in Luke chapter 18 to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So what this parable says to us is, what are you looking at when you come to church? Are you looking at God? Is he getting your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you looking around at other people and saying, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like that person? That is the challenge that's before so many worshipers in churches today, is are you fully locked into Jesus when you come to worship God? Or are you looking at other people? Are you comparing yourself to other people? Are you thinking to yourself, I am so much better than him, I'm so much better than her? And that's what Jesus is teaching through this parable, is to give everything to God, to humble yourself. If we're comparing ourselves to other people, we're not humble. We're not worshiping. So this command is something that we need to take very seriously, because Jesus says in this 10th verse, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, the second command that Jesus said was so high and great was love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we do that? What you really need to do when you read that verse is you need to go back to where Jesus was quoting from, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And so what does that verse say to us? It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So a question that you can ask after you read Leviticus 19, 18, and then hear the words of Jesus saying this is the second greatest command, is, are you bearing a grudge against someone? Is someone on your list that you're mad at? Are you really, really down on someone to the point where you're talking about that individual to other people and saying all kinds of snarky things about them? What's your Facebook account look like? Is this what you're doing? Because God says in his word, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's possible that someone's behavior merits your being careful. Perhaps you need to avoid that person so that you don't enter into sin. But you should not desire to push that person off a cliff. Okay? God is saying that very clearly here in his word. And right now, I sense that there's conviction in the room. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us and saying, yes, you've been bearing a grudge against someone, and no, you should not do that. You should love your neighbor as yourself. The word that Jesus used for love, agape, means that we're to have regard for other people's well-being and not just our own. We're to follow his words. So we keep reading in John chapter 15 and come to the 11th verse, and Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The Lord wanted his joy to be in the disciples on this night where he was sharing the Last Supper with them. And so he's teaching them in these moments about joy. A good question for you to ask yourself as a Christian is, what takes away my joy? What takes away my joy? Author Max Lucado describes losing the joy of cycling. He did a lot of cycling, and then a guy in his church offered to teach him more about cycling. This is what Max says. So I bought a bike and some clip-in shoes and spandex and went out and loved it. But then he started saying that I needed to get some gadgets. You know, everything from a speedometer to a monitor to measure my pulse rate to a device to read the incline of a hill. Max said I had gauges on top of gauges. Then there was the music. My cycling expert friend told me, you'll bike better if you listen to some hard rock. So I did, and all of a sudden I was a serious biker. I'm trying to picture Max Lucado with all this stuff on his bike and then the headphones around his ears as he's listening to probably Led Zeppelin. Max says, one day, lo and behold, I wrecked that bike. And I had to borrow a friend's bike, one that had no gadgets on it. And for whatever reason, I didn't take any music with me on my ride, and I was surprised at how much I enjoyed that ride. It was delightful, just delightful. I was riding for the pure joy of riding. Now, you know, joy can be something hard to experience. And one of the reasons that it's hard for Christians to experience joy is because they've added so many non-spiritual things to their walk with Christ. And so the attention that they pay to all of that stuff is taking away the very simple joy that we have in our walk with Jesus Christ. Is there an antidote to that sickness? Yes. It's prayer. Prayer leads to joy. And later that evening, in this conversation that Jesus was having with the disciples, according to John chapter 16, Jesus said these words, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? When you pray for healing for yourself or for someone else, and then God brings about that healing, joy flows into our hearts, into our souls. What a difference it makes when we pray. And so what Jesus is saying to the disciples in these verses is how important it is for us to be people of joy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18, we read these words. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is that passage saying to you and to me? It's saying we're not to pick and choose when we're going to be joyful. It doesn't give us that option. It says be joyful always. Is there any other way to read it than that? So joy is a choice. It's a choice we make. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians that they were his joy. Now, I think that's significant because when the Apostle Paul was writing those words to the Philippians, he was in a Roman prison. He was awaiting trial from Nero. He was in a very, very bad place. But he told the Philippians that they were his joy. So can you have joy when you're in the midst of difficult circumstances? Absolutely. I played a terrible round of golf on June 28th. I lost so many golf balls that day, you couldn't believe it. Fortunately, my friend Charlie Saulberger had given me about 30 golf balls last year for my birthday. And so I just kept pulling out one after another. And I needed them because I was playing so terribly. But I had joy, and why is that? Because I was playing golf with my son-in-law. And that gave me joy. People give us joy, don't they? And that's why it's so important to spend time with people. I encourage you and urge you to be a part of what we do on Wednesday evenings. Because when we sit around the tables eating dinner together on Wednesday night, we're giving joy one to another. And then as we pray together for the needs of others, God brings his joy to us. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete. And so it brings me joy when I hear the very thankful prayers of other people as they pray to God. You know, thankful people have joy. A good question to ask is, how much time do I spend thanking God for his blessings? Do you have an answer to that question? How many blessings did you thank him for yesterday? And you know, God never stops blessing us. At least 10,000 reasons is what the song says. And there are so many more reasons than that. Every morning, I thank God for creating the world and creating me. And then I recite this verse from Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That's an extraordinary verse, isn't it? Do we ever take for granted that we live, that we've been created, that we take a breath every single moment? That all comes from God, doesn't it? And that's just one of the things that we can be thankful to God for. I thank God for so many other things, but most especially my family. The grace and the blood of Jesus Christ poured out on Calvary for all of my sins. One of the most important things that we can thank God for that will result in our joy is to thank him for his love. It was his love that sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die for your sins and for mine. And so I'm to thank God for his love. And so we come to the 12th verse of John chapter 15, and we hear Jesus say these words. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This was the night that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. To love is to be a servant. You can't be a servant when your arms are folded. Your arms have to be out, touching other people's lives, making a difference in someone else's life. It's compelling that Jesus uses the word command for the third time in this passage. And the idea behind the word entole is that it's an order, it's a law. So the Lord is giving us no options here. This isn't like a speed limit sign on the side of the road that says 35 miles per hour, which no one is paying any attention to. No, what Jesus is saying is, you got to do this. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So what is Jesus saying when he says that? We're to make sacrifices on behalf of others. I look forward to the first Sunday of the month for two reasons. One reason is this table. We celebrate the Lord's Supper every first Sunday of the month at his invitation. But another reason I look forward to the first Sunday of the month is because it's the Sunday that we present this offering to God. This is for the deacons and deaconesses' discretionary fund. We use these extra gifts that we give on the first Sunday of the month to help people who are in times of need. And they come to the office and they're asking for help and assistance with food, with utility bills, sometimes with rent. And when I look into the eyes of the people who walk in the door, I try to envision Jesus. Because doesn't Jesus speak to this issue in Matthew chapter 25? As much as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. And so if we're giving gifts to people, are we not giving them to Jesus? That's a sacrifice. And so what this table is reminding us today is Jesus' question to us, are you prepared to make a sacrifice for others as I have for you? And so in this 13th verse of John chapter 15, Jesus says these amazing words. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus showed us how to love. Jesus wants us to love like he loved us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this great and amazing love. We thank you for how it speaks to us about giving sacrifices. We enter into your presence at this table, mindful of your body and your blood. Thankful are we for the sacrifice that you made because of the Father's love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Give us grace and mercy to be sacrificial in the way that we live our lives, that we might live our lives showing Jesus' love and compassion to others. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. We continue in worship by singing the hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life, number 274, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Will you please stand?